Richard froze. A security guard was coming straight toward them, the beam of his flashlight flashing from side to side. He looked around for somewhere to hide. Too late. Another guard was coming toward them, past the huge statues of dead Greek gods, flashlight beam swinging. "All right," called the first guard. The other guard kept coming toward Richard and Dor and stopped just beside them. "I suppose," she said, "I've already had to stop a couple of tosspots in suits from carving their initials on the Rosetta Stone. I hate these functions." The first guard shone his flashlight straight into Richard's eyes, then let the beam slide off, skittering over shadows. "I keep telling you," he said with the satisfied relish of any true prophet, "it's the Mask of the Red Death all over again. A decadent elite party while civilization crumbles about their ears." He picked his nose, wiped it on the leather sole of his well-polished black boot. The second guard sighed. "Thank you, Gerald. Right, back on patrol." The guards walked out of the hall together. "Last one of these things, we found someone had puked in a sarcophagus," said one of the guards. And then the door closed behind them. "If you're part of London below," said Dor to Richard in a conversational voice as they walked side by side into the next hall. "They normally don't even notice you exist, unless you stop and talk to them. And even then, they forget you pretty quickly." "But I saw you," said Richard. It had been bothering him for a while. "I know," said Dor. "Isn't that odd?"
"Everything's odd," said Richard, with feeling.
The string music was getting louder. The surges of anxiety were somehow worse up here in London above, where he was forced to reconcile these two universes. At least below he could proceed dreamlike, putting one foot in front of the other, like a sleepwalker. "The Angelus is through there," announced Dor, interrupting his reverie and pointing to the direction from which the music was coming.
"How do you know?"
"I know," she said with utter certainty. "Come on." They stepped out of the darkness into a lighted corridor. There was a huge sign hanging across the corridor. It said, "Angels Over England, an exhibition at the British Museum, sponsored by Stockton's PLC. They crossed the corridor and walked through an open door into a large room in which a party was going on. There was a string quartet playing, and a number of serving staff were providing a room full of well-dressed people with food and drink. There was a small stage in one corner of the room, with a podium on it beside a high curtain. The room was completely filled with angels. There were statues of angels on tiny plinths. There were paintings of angels on the walls. There were angel frescoes. There were huge angels and tiny angels, stiff angels and amiable angels, angels with wings and halos and angels with neither, warlike angels and peaceable angels. There were modern angels and classical angels, hundreds upon hundreds of angels of every size and shape. Western angels, Middle Eastern angels, Eastern angels, Michelangelo angels, Joel Peter Witkin angels, Picasso angels, Warhol angels. Mr. Stockton's angel collection was, in the words of the Time Out review, "indiscriminate to the point of trashiness, but certainly impressive in its eclecticism."
"Would you think," Richard asked, "that I was being picky if I pointed out that trying to find something with an angel on it in here is going to be like trying to find a needle in an oh my god, it's Jessica?"
Richard felt the blood drain from his face. Until now, he had thought that that was simply a figure of speech. He hadn't thought it actually happened in real life.
"Someone you knew?" asked Dor.
Richard nodded.
"She was my... well, we were going to be married. We've been together for a couple of years. She was with me when I found you. She was the one on the... and she left that message on the answering machine."
He pointed across the room.
Jessica was making animated conversation with Lord Lloyd Webber, Sir Bob Geldof, and a bespectacled gentleman whom she strongly suspected of being a Saatchi. Every few minutes, she checked her watch and glanced toward the door.
"Her?"
said Dor, remembering the woman. Then, obviously feeling that she should say something nice about someone Richard had cared for, she said,
"Well, she's very..."
And she paused and thought, and then said,
"Clean."
Richard stared across the room.
"Well, she... is she going to be upset that we're here?"
"I doubt it," said Dor.
"Frankly, unless you do something stupid, like talk to her, she probably won't even notice you."
And then, with more enthusiasm, she said, "Food!" She descended on the canapes like a small, smut-nosed, pixie-faced, red-haired, big brown leather-jacketed girl who hadn't eaten properly in ages. Enormous quantities of food were immediately crammed into her mouth, masticated and swallowed, while at the same time the more substantial sandwiches were wrapped in paper napkins and placed into her pockets. Then, with a paper plate heaped high with chicken legs, melon slices, mushroom vol-au-vents, caviar puffs and small venison sausages, she began to circle the room, staring intently at each and every angelic artifact. Richard trailed along behind her with a brie and fennel sandwich and a glass of freshly squeezed orange juice.